Well, we're a little bit rushed here, and that was a good, it's a good dinner tonight, eh? It was worth rushing for. Thanks for that. No, good to be here, and I'm not quite sure where I am here. I'm not used to, I'm used to standing up over there. You've done this just to confuse me, but that's okay. thank you. I want to start off. And I've got a little outline to give you tonight from the Word of God. But I do want to start off right from the start and just say thank you for your ongoing support of the Young family for many years. We appreciate that very much. We never take it for granted. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for your monthly support. Also, thank you for the gifts that come now and again. We received a gift from the church last month, which was hugely hugely a blessing. I don't know if that's the correct way to say things. Do I have to stand behind this pulpit? Can I move around? Is that okay? I can do what I want? Thanks. it was such a blessing. I could most probably just stand up here and just give testimonies about how the Lord provides, but I do want to get to the Word of God in a minute. But thank you so much. We really appreciate that. And we live by faith, and this is our 34th year in full-time ministry, and we just live by faith, and the Lord is good. The Lord just prompts people to give, and I never ask for a meeting, we never ask for an offering, quite often we go to churches and there is no offering, and that's fine, I just leave that with the Lord, because you go to another church and they give you a double offering, so It all figures out. So if you're wondering how you serve the Lord, you just go in faith. The Lord looks after you. And I can testify to that. Thank you for praying for us. Some of you have been following our trip to England last month, the month of February, and we just had the best time. The first half of the trip I spent preaching on the eastern side, a couple of churches in Lincolnshire and then a church up in Yorkshire, and that was a blessing. Some struggling churches, but the Lord blessed there, and they keep asking, when are you coming back? And I say, well, I don't even know if I'll ever go back to England, but you never know. You never know what might happen there. And then the second, it was really only 8 or 9 days, it was a short trip. The second part of our trip was on the western and southern side of England, and we visited 5 churches as part of the Crown Heritage Trust Group, and I tell you, it's a miracle what God is doing in England at the moment. It really is outstanding how a group of people came over from the States in 2006. Excuse me. Had a lot of pizza tonight, brother, and a big pile of bolognese. That was good, eh? And the Lord just impressed upon a particular pastor to send some people to England and just to trust the Lord to see what God was going to do. And God kept giving them buildings, like church buildings. Like all over England, there's hundreds, if not thousands, of empty church buildings because England is just a heathen country. And they call it one of their missionary graveyards, which is really weird because England is the land of George Mueller and Wesley and Whitfield and Newton and Spurgeon and Carey and all these fellas. That's where the missionaries came from. And now it's this massive mission field in itself. But young men of faith went over to England, and God gave them a church building, a beautiful old church building in a place called Birmingham, Beaches Road, Birmingham. And that was the first one. 2006, they started an outreach. Then it became a gathering, and finally they constituted as a church. And now they have a thriving church. But they were given this building. I've got a picture. If you want a picture later, I've got it on my phone. I don't know, did I bring my phone in? Is it there? I don't know what I've done with the phone. it's just amazing what the Lord has done. It's even got a pipe organ. This massive, great pipe organ. And then recently they were given another building, literally about 100 yards down the road, for their outreach ministries and youth ministries. And then they started a church in Oxford. A group of trustees or whatever, didn't want to sell this particular church building to, you know, Muslims or Hindus or restaurant or whatever. So they gave it to another one of these groups of young men, and they started a church there. Well, they've outgrown that building. They now, there's 200 of them meet of a Saturday morning, of a Sunday morning and Sunday night on a, Sunday morning. They meet in a vacant lot in a tent in Oxford. We were there on the Wednesday night. We've been there a couple of times. And you're literally squelching around. They've got that artificial grass, but you're squelching around on the mud. They've got portaloos. They've got generators going. It's next to the freeway. There's noise. But people are just coming and getting saved. It's amazing what they're doing. It's amazing what God's doing. And then they're just starting their 10th church in Wales. I can't pronounce the name of the town. It's Bilf. Something or other. I don't think the Welsh can pronounce their own names, but they're starting their 10th church, and it's a miracle to see. God gave them an old manor house, this incredible 200, 250-year-old house. They've got 25 full-time students training for the ministry. They've actually got a waiting list to get into the college. They can't fit any more than 25 in. They've started a work in Netherlands, and right at this very moment, they were given a 2,500-acre ranch in Zimbabwe. You know, like a safari ranch. Older couple were watching Oxford Baptist Chapel online on YouTube. They got saved a couple of years ago. They've retired, and they basically said, "We want to give you our 2,500-acre ranch right next to Victoria Falls. Come and start a church here," and that's what they're doing. It's just amazing to see what God's doing. And I asked one of the head fellows there, one of the main pastors there. We spent about a half a day with Levi at the college there. He was teaching that day. And I said, "Well, what sort of plan did you have? What sort of plan did you formulate?" You know, there's some pastors are American, some are English and so on. So what sort of a plan, you know, how did you... He said, we don't have one. We never had a plan. We just wanted a work of God to go on. And so he said, pray, and we pray, and we pray, and then God answers our prayers. God gives us a building. Last year they were offered 8 buildings, and they knocked them all back because they were just in the, you know, not the right spot, or the buildings were too old, or whatever. But to me, it was such an encouragement to go to a place like England, and you see that God, the power of the gospel, and these are conservative King James, you know. Open air street preaching, door knocking, hellfire and brimstone. They're just old fashioned Baptist English churches, and God is blessing. So if God can do that there, God can do that here in Australia, because it's the same God. It's the same God. I know the geographics are different, the logistics are different, understand that. But if God can do it there, God can do it here. And I'm actually very encouraged with some of the churches that are being planted right now in Australia. And my prayer is, my desire is, as we get closer to the sounding of the trumpet and getting out of here, that we'll see more churches planted, because the time is very short and the need is there. So thank you for praying. Appreciate that. Thank you for helping out with expenses and so on. It's just such a blessing to see the Lord. You know, travel, if any of you have travelled, it's actually quite expensive. I was telling John before, I think I bought 2 cups of coffee in the month of February, because, you know, four pound is $8 for a small coffee, $8 Aussie. So, you know, it's expensive to travel, but God looks after us. He really does. So thank you for that. We had a wonderful Sunday night. Sunday morning I was in Mergon, and then Sunday night we had a great meeting up at Tanham Sands. We had a number of people make professions of faith, and we had 4 adults come down the aisle. One fella, he ran. We've been praying for this fella for a couple of years now, a fella in his early 40s. And when I gave that invitation, he just ran down. He's been so close to being saved for so many years, and he just wanted to sort things out with the Lord. Another young fella, 13-year-old young teenager, he responded. He didn't come forward, but he wanted to speak to me afterwards, and he just wanted to get saved. They've been praying for this young... He's a troubled young man, been praying for him for a long time. He's South African. And I said, "Well, you need to talk to the Lord." He said out loud, I says, "Well, you don't have to, but I'll listen when you talk to the Lord." He said, do I have to pray in English when I talk to the Lord? I says, "No." He said, can I pray in Afrikaan? I said, yeah, I think God can understand Afrikaan. He was so keen. He just needed one of those troubled souls that they've been praying for him for ages. The Lord just melted his heart. So thank you for praying. Thank you for partnering in the Lord's work. It's so good to be in the Lord's work. All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to move that up there. I'm going to take that off. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and could you run out and get my phone from the car, please? Thanks. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, and we most probably all know this verse. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. I want to speak to you for a few minutes tonight on the believer's reason. The believer's reason. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. Lord, personally, it's been a bit of a rush day. But Lord, we are so thankful to be here with the Lord's people. And dear Lord, where else would we be on a on a Wednesday night? Lord, thank you, Lord. I pray that you'll bless wherever the word of God is being shared in our great country this day. Speak to our hearts at this time. We pray for the filling of the Spirit of God for these short moments together. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't want to focus on what's going on in the world today because the world really is crazy. And it's getting crazier by the day. you can almost sense... We know that Satan's leash is, he knows his time is short. He's on a leash. He's got a bit of room at the moment. God's going to yank that leash one day and is going to stuff him into the lake of fire. And he knows that his time is very short. But you look around the world today and you see his influence in corruption, and you see his influence in this transgender stuff and the occult influence. And, you know, back in Genesis, where it talks about the thoughts and intents of man's heart was only evil continually, but as the days of Noah were. And Robin and I have often talked about this because Robin studied the Roman Empire at high school. And we've often said, well, we're most probably not where the Roman Empire was. But I think we're getting very close. And maybe we're getting close to what it was like in Noah's day. So if you spend too much time on the internet or on social media or whatever, you can get actually a bit down. It is. I know some Christians spend all their days on the internet. And I can't do that. I mean, it gets me down. So how is a Christian supposed to live in the last days of the last days? How are we supposed to live? Well, this verse, I believe, gives it to us very plainly. We are to give glory to God. That's how we live. Whatever we do, eating, drinking, or whatever we do, everything we do has to be done to the glory of God. So that's what God wants for us all in this day and age. This is not a time to be, you know, down and depressed. This is a time to be giving glory to God. Every time is a time to be giving glory to God. Why should we give glory to God? Well, the Bible says that we should. It's a command there. We all know 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, that price being, of course, the blood of Christ. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to bring glory to God, whether we eat or drink, whatever we do, go to work, go to school, whatever. Everything we do, we must bring glory to God. Why? Because we belong to God. We belong to God. Those of us who are saved, we are purchased with the blood of Christ. So in the few minutes that we have remaining this evening, I want to answer the question, how do we do this? There's at least three practical ways that we can bring glory to God. Here's the first way. Bringing praise glorifies God. Bringing praise glorifies God. Now, if you're taking notes, you want a reference there, Psalm 50 and verse 23. And this is what it says. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Psalm 50, 23. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. So how's the first way that we can bring glory to God in whatever we do throughout the day? By praising him. When we praise God, and thanks Johnny for those songs tonight. They were very very apt and they fitted in with this outline. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. You know, I think as independent Baptists, independent Bible churches, whatever you want to call us, conservative, Bible-believing Christians, whoever you want to label us, so often we put little importance on praising God. We do. I think we put sometimes too little importance on praising God. You know, Psalm 150, don't turn there, but it's the last psalm. And in Psalm 150, 13 times in that one psalm we are exhorted to praise the Lord. 13 times in one psalm. And, of course, the psalms are just full of instruction on praising God. Now, some churches I visit, thankfully not all churches, but some churches I visit, it's like going to a cemetery. It really is. It's like visiting a cemetery. Now, visiting cemeteries is, if that's your thing, my wife likes to visit cemeteries. She likes to read the headstones. In fact, Robin likes to read everything. You go to a museum or a castle in England, and I just do a speed run, okay? I'm through the place in no time, and Robin's about 2 hours behind. So we've got an agreement. I'll go in, and I'll do a speed run, and then I'll go to the cafe and get some Yorkshire tea and a scone, sit down and do some reading. But Robin loves, she just loves the information and so on, and that's fine. And she's like that with cemeteries. I'm trying to figure out where I'm going with this illustration. But she's like that with cemeteries. She likes to read all the headstones. And that's fine. But does anyone else like to do that? But, you know, some you do? No, no. That's interesting. But, you know, some churches I go to are like visiting a cemetery. And I think, wow, there's not much life here. I think sometimes we get a bit scared of the Carrows and the Penties. You know, we get a bit scared and we think, well, we don't want to be. Yeah, but we still got to praise the Lord. Amen. We still have to praise the Lord. Why is it so important to praise the Lord? All right, let's go to a couple of passages here. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I'm just going to read a couple of verses here just for time's sake. This is 2 Chronicles 20, the time of Jehoshaphat. I don't know if he was jumping Jehoshaphat, but they call him Jehoshaphat, and he was the king of Judah. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Verse 3, Jehoshaphat feared, set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. So Jehoshaphat basically was a good king. He was a godly king. The enemies were coming around Israel. Come down to verse 14. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Verse 17, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Look down at verse 19. The Levites, the children of the Kohathites and of the Korahites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice. Look at verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. I want to stop there and say that basically all they did was just praise the Lord. And God gave them this great victory. The odds were against them. They had no chance of winning this battle. And so the Lord said, listen, all you got to do, just settle down, just stand there, just praise me. Give me praise, leave it up to me. And that's what happened. So we can learn something from this, that we battle by praising. You know, sometimes in life we are surrounded by the odds, we're up against it. There's no physical way, there's no human way we're going to get through this particular battle or whatever this trial is that we're in. Okay, well, I'll tell you what you can do. You can praise the Lord. Amen. Just sit down and praise the Lord. Stand up and praise the Lord. Say, Lord, sorry, I'm not going to win this. We can't win this in our own strength. So, Lord, I'm just giving up. In fact, Lord, I'm going to give it to you. And so, Lord, I'm just going to praise you. Hey, that'll work. That'll work. And that way, when God gives the victory, he's the one that gets the praise. Maybe we're praising him up front. Maybe we're praising him for what he's going to do. We often praise the Lord for what he's done, and we should. But maybe we should praise the Lord too for what he is going to do. That might work. Yeah, so we battle by praising. Come over to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 6. We all know this passage. This is Paul and Silas in Philippi. In Philippi, we know what happened. We haven't got time to go through the story. They ended up in jail. Verse 23, when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, the real bad place, and made their feet fast in the stocks. That would have been really uncomfortable, especially when you're bleeding and you're sore and so on. Look at verse 25. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. So they were in a hopeless situation, absolutely hopeless situation. What were they going to do? There's nothing they could do. They got, they got beaten up, whipped, humiliated, and so they did what the only thing they could do. They praised the Lord. I'm guessing they sang the Psalms or maybe they sang some choruses. Who knows what they sang? The Bible doesn't say. It just says that they sang and they praised God. And so they overcome by praising God. Now, we know the rest of the story. There was the great earthquake and the jailer said, what must I do to be saved? And so on. So we battle by praising. We overcome by praising. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Now we need to prepare to praise. We need to take praising God seriously. I'm sure I don't take it seriously enough. I know in my prayer list, right at the top, I've got a section of praise to God, and there's reasons why we worship and I should worship and praise God. But I know sometimes I rush through that to get to all the people, the prayer points underneath. But I'm thinking sometimes I need to just slow down a bit and say, hey, just give a bit more time to praising God. I love that story. We won't turn there, but in Exodus, Exodus 15, you know the story how God brought Moses and the children of Israel out of Egypt. They went through the Red Sea. They all got through. And then, the Pharaoh's army came down and they went through the sea as well. Waters came back down, drowned the whole army. So what did Moses do? Moses got up and he said, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider thrown into the sea. I think there's a song that goes along those lines. So Moses, it was the song of Moses, a praise to God, seeing all these dead bodies all washed up on the shore. But then, after then, Moses had his go, and Miriam, Moses' sister, got up with the ladies of Israel. And what did they do? They sang a similar song. I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider thrown into the sea. But the interesting thing is, when they got up, it says they got up with their timbrels. Now, who remembers the Sallies, Salvation Army? And remember that they were never the Salvos. They were always the Sallies when I was growing up. Who remembers hearing those Salvation Army bands on the street corner? I remember those distinctly as a kid when I lived in Armidale. I was only a little fella, but I remember those Salvation Army bands and the ladies with their timbrels, tambourines. Now, I don't know if they were exactly the same in Miriam's day, but they were something similar, like a round thing covered in skin, and they made a noise. And so these ladies there, they're up with their tambourines or their timbrels, singing away. You say, oh, that's pretty good. They just went down the local music shop there on the Red Sea Music Shop. But no, how did they get the timbrels? I remember when they left Egypt, they had to rush. They went with haste, and it was only what they could carry or stick on a donkey or whatever. So they must have taken them with them. Those Jewish ladies took the timbrels with them. They considered that those instruments were so important, they most probably left the coffee machine at home and, you know, left the tennis racket and all the rest of it, but they had to bring the timbrels with them. Why? Because they used that to praise the Lord. They were preparing to praise God. So we need to prepare to praise God. I'm just jumping over things here. We need to practice to praise God. Johann Sebastian Bach, this is a quote of J.S. Bach. He said, "All music should have no other end and aim than the glory of God and the soul's refreshment. Where this is not remembered, there is no real music, but only a devilish hubbub," whatever that means. He ended all his compositions SDG. The initial stands for Soli Dei Gratia, which means "to God alone be the glory." What a testimony of J.S. Bach. Again, King David, when Israel was at its height, at its zenith as a nation, he had thousands of singers and instrumentalists, professionals. You know what they did? All their job was to praise the Lord every day. So do you reckon they practiced? I reckon they practiced. I reckon they were very, very good at it. The psalmist said in Psalm 103, verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." How can we bring glory to God? "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me." When we are praising God, we are bringing him glory. Whether it's private praise in our prayer closet or in our bedroom or study or wherever, or whether it's as a church, we are bringing glory to God when we praise him. What's the second way we can praise God? And my next 2 points will be a bit quicker. I don't want to cut back on your prayer time this evening. Come over to John 15, verse 8. John 15 and verse 8. John 15 and verse 8. How can we give praise to God? Number one, bringing praise, glory to God. Bringing praise glorifies God. Number two, bearing fruit glorifies God. John 15, verse 8. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. He says this, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit." So when we bear fruit, when we bear spiritual fruit, we bring glory to God. When we praise God, we bring glory to God. When we bear fruit, we bring glory to God. Now, the question is then, what is spiritual fruit? Well, he goes on to say here in the second part of the verse, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my," what's that word? Disciples. Disciples. how do we bear fruit? We make disciples. We make disciples. Now, it's very interesting. Keep a bookmark there. Come over to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. You all know these verses, Matthew 28, 19. This is a great commission. This is Jesus speaking. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, two words here. Back in John 15:8, Jesus said, this is how you glorify my Father, you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Now that word disciples is it's a noun. What's a noun? It's a person, place, thing. That's a noun. We come over here to Matthew 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and, what's that word? Teach. That's a verb. Guess what? It's the same Greek word. It's the same Greek word. One's a noun, or should I say it has the same basis. One's a noun, one's a verb. What are we to do in the Great Commission? We are to go and make disciples. Now, that starts with soul winning. That starts with witnessing. That starts with, you know, broadcasting the gospel, the seed of the word of God, and then bringing people to the Lord. But that's not the end of it. There's the discipleship part of them, the baptism, and then teaching them what you've learned so that they can then go and do the same thing. That's discipleship. So what is the Lord Jesus saying here? This is how we bear much fruit. This is how we glorify God, when we bear much fruit. And how do we bear fruit? By being disciples, by making disciples, making followers of Christ, even as we now belong to the Lord. So that's how we bear fruit. Now, there's other fruit for the life of a believer. Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. You know, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance and meekness and so on. But strictly speaking, that is the fruit of the Spirit. They're the attributes of the Holy Spirit, who is God. They're the attributes of the Spirit of God that are natural to God because they're unnatural to us. You know what's natural to us? The works of the flesh. That's the stuff that comes easily. But we don't have to have the works of the flesh. We can have the works that we can have the fruit of the Spirit if we are. And all Galatians 5 is all about following the Spirit, being led of the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit of God. But strictly speaking, the fruit of the Christian is another Christian. So when we are obeying the command of the Lord to go and make disciples, that is bringing glory to God. It really is. Because we are obeying the Saviour. So how can we bring glory to God? Bringing praise glorifies God. Bearing fruit glorifies God. And lastly, being light glorifies God. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. We'll go to verse 14. Matthew 5, 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. How do we glorify our Father which is in heaven? By being light. By being bright lights. By letting our lights shine before men. You know, we do live in an ever-darkening world. There's no doubt about that. This world is a wicked, wicked place. Now, the Bible says the whole world lieth in wickedness. And I tell you what, that is so true today. The good thing is, the darker the night, the brighter the light. So we're not supposed to be like the world. We're not supposed to be, following after darkness. You know, if we bring the, someone says, well, we need to bring some of this stuff from the world in to attract the world. You're not going to attract the world with the stuff of the world. That's dumb. That's really dumb. No, we need to be light. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men. And when they see your good works, your light shining, they'll give glory to God. little poem that I remember learning as I think a 7 or 8 year old. This is how it goes. You are writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the deeds that you do, by the words that you say. Men hear what you say and see what you do. Say, what is the gospel according to you? Now, I understand we have to, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So, you know, we have to be giving tracts out, we have to be talking to people, sowing the seed. We've got to do that. But at the same time, we do need to have our lights shining. You know, because if our lives don't match the message, then there's a discord there. That's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. If we're going to go preaching, you know, sharing the word of God and sharing the gospel, we all should be doing that. If we're going to be doing that, we've got to make sure that our lives, you know, match up with what we're doing. It was Mahatma Gandhi. It's a famous quote. Mahatma Gandhi said the following. He said, "I like your Christ, but I don't like your Christians, because your Christians are so unlike your Christ." Speaking to a group of Christians. "I like your Christ, but I don't like your Christians, because your Christians are so unlike your Christ." That's really sad. That's really sad. You know, we live in a day and age where so many believers are just, or so-called believers, are just lukewarm or worldly. That doesn't bring glory to God. It really doesn't. We bring glory to God by praising him, by bearing fruit, and by being light. Being light. That's what brings glory to God. And that's our reason for living. That's why God has left us here on planet Earth, to bring glory to him. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the word of God. Lord, it's convicting to my heart. I understand that and acknowledge that, Lord, because I don't praise you like I should. And, Lord, I don't disciple like I should, and most probably my life doesn't shine as brightly as it should. So, Lord, work in my heart, Lord, on these things, because, Father, I need to bring glory to you. Thank you for our time in the word of God. Speak to our hearts, Lord. If someone here this evening is a little cold of heart, or a little hard of heart, I pray that they will see their need and bow before you tonight and say, "Lord, I repent of the way I am at the moment, and I want to get back to bringing you glory." Thank you for our time in the Word. In Jesus' name, amen.